song Amazing Grace, and somebody tell me a time when you heard that song that's special to you. The first time you heard it.
My mother passed away.
Your mom passed away.
After I passed away, there were many dangers, perils, and snares I had already known. His grace that brought me safe thus far and gracefully me home. I clung to that.
During a hospital stay?
No. During a hospital stay.
During a hospital stay, that second verse. That's the second, yeah.
Third
verse. Jared.
I saw that as a traditional song, and you know, I heard the story of why you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just took on so much more power that any time in my life, compared to what God has not made us go through, it's good.
You know, I just want to say this. You know, when you hear that line that opens that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There's just something about those words that at least I can relate to. There's something about the Spirit of God. I've spent some time this last couple of weeks with some people that are not believers, they're not faithful people. Sometimes it's just like I want to say to him, you know, you don't understand because you can't understand, you won't understand, I don't know, but there's something about when we humble ourselves and pour our hearts out in front of God and just say, here, I don't know what to do with my life, I'm blind. I can't see. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Here, you take it. And somehow, he reaches in and takes that which we've abandoned, and he takes it and makes it good and makes it precious. Transforms us and makes us whole. It's my hope that each and every one of you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you've confessed your sins to God, that you've prayed to receive the Holy Spirit in your heart, and that you are pursuing Him with all your strength. Because when you're in that spot there, you can see things that other people can't see. You can see things that you previously couldn't see, and life has a whole new meaning. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your amazing grace for us. Father, pray, Father, for this offering that we're about to receive. Lord, we give to you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be givers. Father, if there are those here that right now today, Lord, they're not in a giving place, but they're maybe taking place, I pray, Father, that you provide for them. Turn things around, Lord, so that they can also have the joy of giving. I pray, Father, for success and prosperity for each and every one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the ushers would please come.
So, I want to do February birthday.
June. Do not be more for this world.
3 or below, we should stay in flat fret. We ask your blessings on this service, Lord, both here and in Children's Church. Pray that you would open our hearts, Lord. Help us to be attentive. Help us to listen and to learn about you and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're fifth grader below and you'd like to go to Children's Church, you may go with Shirley and with Cheyenne. If you're sticking around here with me, you're going to need to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. In the meantime, let me just say, one of the things that I hear people say about the Bible is that the Bible is an old book written by men that's not really relevant for today. You ever heard that? You know what I try to remember to always say to them when I hear that? I try to always remember to say, so then, you haven't read the Bible. Because you see, when people read the Bible and study the scriptures, they begin to see how it connects God and our lives together. And from that, we find guidance that leads us into a place of spiritual peace. For the 3 of the last 4 weeks, we've been looking in 1 Peter. Week 1, we looked at the living hope, which is available to those, all of those who have been born again. On week 2, we looked at grace. And, you know, grace is the focal point of our faith. Without grace, our faith would collapse and fall apart. But because God has shown us His grace, that's His unmerited favor, there is absolutely nothing that should shake our faith because we have God's grace, His amazing grace. And last week, we looked at how, along with hope and grace, God gives us direction for our lives and how we should live our lives. Now, sometime past, I don't know when, somebody came up with an acronym for the word Bible. So, have you seen this before? I've always loved it. Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. The B-I-B-L-E. Okay? That's what the scripture is. If you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible. If you have a Bible and you're not reading your Bible, what's wrong with you? This is our communication with God. This is the scripture that we study. It is not just an ancient book written by men. This is the living Word of God that applies itself to our lives and guides us and gives us the information that we need in order to live. Today, we want to continue looking at 1 Peter so that we can learn the content of our Bible. The whole passage for today, I'm not going to read, but it is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. I'm going to read the first 3 verses of that section right now. Verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You know, as Christians, we are always trying to do what's consistent with God's will. I mean, I've never met anybody that said, oh, I want to go do something that's against God's will, even when we even when we choose to deliberately sin, I've never heard anybody just come right out and say, I'm going to be defiant of God's will and go do this other thing. Because we want to be within God's will. In the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, we even read this line, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Following God's will is a very important thing for all of us. I have four verses that I put together that talk about God's will. Let's look at the first one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Kind of going through these verses kind of fast, but they are in your notes, so you do have them written down there. I mean, the verses in your notes, not the actual content. So you can look it up later. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for... Finish.
You.
You. Okay. I didn't want you to miss that part. Because I know you always like to apply scriptures to everybody else and not ourselves. So, you. Just kidding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. We just read this one, didn't we? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, again, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, there are plenty of other passages that indicate and instruct us on what God's will is for our lives. But these four actually contain that phrase, the will of God. So when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we don't have any question that it is the will of God for us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now I got to tell you that according to the Greek, that phrase, all circumstances, it means, I don't even really need to tell you what it means, do I? Because it means all circumstances. Just all circumstances. Sometimes don't you just hate what the Bible says?
Yeah.
Give thanks in all circumstances, because that's God's will. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us it is also the will of God for us to pursue sanctification. Now, sanctification is being set apart for God by living for Him. Now, some people would call this part of the church the sanctuary. It's the part of the church that's been set apart for us to gather and sing our worship and praise. It's the place where we open the Word of God and we study and we do what we can to hear from God. This is a place, a special place for us. So, but this is not the church. This is just a building. The church is here. The church is not a place. The church is us. So here with us, we want to have that sanctuary, that place inside of us where we can go and meet with God. You see, that's His will for our lives. That we would be set, that we would be set apart with sanctification. Sanctification means being holy, which is the idea of committing no sin. If you have holiness and you have sin, you cannot put those together. That's the problem with the fall of man. When they got put together, the sin overrode the holiness, and man became separated from God. So we have to separate those two through the sacrifice of Christ. So herein is the problem with sanctification. It's God's will for us to be sanctified. And all that means is we have to get everything right all the time. Well, that would be depressing, except for one thing. There's also grace. God's grace. So we still have hope. If it wasn't for that grace and that hope, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So we also have to keep in mind that sanctification is not an event. You know, sanctification is not like Christmas and comes once a year. Sanctification is a process. It's a lifestyle. It's something that's underway. Sometimes we hit. Sometimes we miss. When we miss, we don't hate ourselves. When we miss, we receive the grace of God and we get back on the path to righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that the will of God is for us to be tested. I don't know about you, but I wish there was another way for me to find the will of God than being tested. Maybe we could read about it, and then we'd be good. Testing is how God reveals His will to you. If you are not tested, you will not know the will of God. It's just that simple. Now, we live here on the coast, and you know we put out rocks or something, you know, to create a harbor, like they did down here. Thinking about the Havelock Marina, they put some rocks out there, kind of as a breakwater bulkhead. How strong is that bulkhead? How can we test it? Yeah, we can do some engineering, we can do some math, we can do some figuring, but the only way that we can really test it every year is when a storm hits. And it's either going to be strong enough to hold or it's going to break, because that's really the only test, right? It either works or it doesn't. And so it is with us. How strong is your faith? What kind of storm does it take to crash it down? What kind of trial would cause you to no longer focus on the grace of God? What kind of problem? So we get these little tests. Sometimes we have to go a couple of weeks overdue on pregnancy. Well, not actually me. But we get these testings. Sometimes we leave our home in Alaska to come down and spend a couple of weeks with our daughter before she has her baby, only to find out it's probably going to wind up being a couple of months. There's lots of ways that we're tested, good and bad. Things happen. And so is life. This is how we discover the will of God. Don't hide from it, don't run from it. Embrace it. Also, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, it is the will of God for us to do good. It is God's will for us to live in such a manner that others take notice of us and are affected by our behavior in a positive way. And if we continue to read the scripture, we know that our good works are supposed to glorify God. So, what do your good works do throughout the week? They make you feel better? Are they just there to make other people feel better? You know, if you give your coat to a homeless person, they're warm, that's good. You feel good, and that's good. But is God glorified? And that's a question I can't answer. Because it depends on every person and every situation and every observer. But we do know this. It is the will of God for us to do good. Now, right after verse 15, lays a verse that really, to me, appeared to be out of place. In the midst of the passage where it's talking about telling us how to live and what we should and shouldn't do, there is this verse 16, which says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So wait a minute, just think about that. You're getting this list of do's and don'ts. And then he says, live as people who are free. Now, I don't know about you, but my idea of freedom always kind of relates to me being in charge of me. Me making my own decisions. And me doing what I want to do. That's freedom. But you know what? That's never really the case, is it? Because in spite of whatever freedom we have, we must concern ourselves with the others who are in our lives. Our children, our parents, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. The list goes on and on. We have to be concerned about that. So for a moment, let's talk about communication. Let's talk about that healthy, what a healthy relationship is. Because in a healthy relationship, instruction and freedom exist together. My wife says to me, your wife says to you, would you set the table for dinner? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I always like to look at her and say, don't tell me what to do. No, that doesn't work at all. What I do is I say, yeah, I'll be right there. And no, of course, I spring to my feet and I do all good things and I rush right in and I set the table. Okay, made that. But you get the point. It's about my choice and those instructions working in harmony. It's how we do. It's life. In a dysfunctional relationship, people refuse to follow instructions. And then instructors become bullies and they bully their pupils. But in a healthy relationship, there's honest communication. Jesus said in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that you have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus said, he's our friend. So we can say to Jesus, he's my friend. Bible serves as our primary communication from God. Someone may say, the Bible says if I do everything that God wants, then God will bless me. Right? So if you do what God wants you to do, God is going to bless your life. And you know what the answer to that is? The answer to that is yes. Absolutely. If you do what God wants, he's going to bless your life. But almost always when you hear that question, it's followed up by this idea, if not the literal question, and I'll get everything I want. And the answer to that is no. So you will be blessed, but you won't get what you want.
Amen.
Remember, though, in a healthy relationship, the communication is clear. The problem with many people is that they endeavor to follow faith in Christ, or as they endeavor to follow faith in Christ, they abandon their study of the Scripture halfway through the message. So instead of hearing the whole communication from God, too many people just hear a part of it. So what they hear is, if I do what God wants, He'll bless me. And the answer is yes. And so then they're done listening. They're starting to think, man, I'm going to get a new house. I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get all the stuff I want. And they fail to hear the rest of the message, which is that God's ways are higher than our ways. They don't work out like we expect them to. He reveals His will to us through trials and through problems. And I got to tell you that a trial is not necessarily getting a new house and a new car. A trial is when you lose your house and you lose your car. That doesn't feel like a blessing when it happens. But if we hold to our faith, knowing that the grace of God is sufficient, if we stay that course, we'll come out on the other side of it. I can say better people, but I've got to tell you, some trials will kill you. So you might not come out on the side of a better person, but you might come out on the other side in glory with God, having received eternal life. We've got to listen to the full message. Let me give you an example from verse 17. Verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Now think about this for a minute. Honor everyone. Okay, honor the poor bum that's too lazy to work. Honor the senator who passed the bill that's made your life more difficult. Does God really know what's going on down here? Honor everyone? I mean, really. But what about this whole love the brotherhood thing? Okay, God means love other Christians? Seriously? Has He ever looked around? There's a bunch of Christians that are jerks. Not here, of course, but other places. Does he have any idea what he's asking us to do? And then he says, honor the emperor. Really? Obama? Seriously? You know what? That's what he means. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, honor the emperor. Yeah, that neighbor that just irritates you all the time, honor him. That grocery store clerk that just talks and just nails on the chalkboard, honor him. Love the brotherhood, those people in the church, head of the church, those people, yeah. The ones that say they're Christians but don't do anything that's Christian. Love them. That's just an honor of the emperor. Really? I almost can't say that with a straight face. But it is really what he means. It is really what he wants us to do. Why must we honor all these people? We got to look back at verses 13 and 14 and learn the whole story that's being taught here. I put in an excerpt from verses 13 and 14. Be subject to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or the governors, as sent by him. Now here we go. To punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. So there's purpose. God's purpose. Let me expand on that thought a little bit. Let me reinforce it with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where it says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You see, there's purpose in waiting. There's purpose in trials. There is purpose in the things that God brings into our lives. Whether those things are good or bad, and his purpose. So remember, when bad things come your way, God is aware. And God has preordained a path for us to walk in, whether things are good or whether they are bad. He has a course that is predetermined, that if we will follow it, we will reach the finish line. So don't turn and hide from suffering. Don't start blaming the devil for hard times. Now, when I prayed this morning, I mentioned a lady named Brandy. It's not the Brandy that you know around here. It's Brandy that Colleen and I knew a few years ago. And she called and she's just very distraught, very upset. And she's saying, the devil's doing this to me, and the devil's doing that to me, and the devil's doing this other thing to me, and the devil's just working overtime on me. And the longer I listened to her, and we talked for an hour and 15 minutes on the phone, and after a while, I said to her, Brandy, you need to forgive. She's like, what? You need to learn how to forgive. It's not the devil that has you in bondage. You have yourself. She says, forgive who? Hold on to your seats. Forgive your dad for molesting you when you were a child. Forgive your boyfriend when you were a teenager for raping you. You know, let that stuff sink in. It's like, forgive them. I'd rather shoot them. You know what? I'd rather go and shoot them for her. But the truth is, as long as she holds on to the hate, those people continue to rape her every time she makes a night. But she lets it go, turns them over to God, and say, there you go, you and the Lord, you're on your own. I'm done. I'm moving on. I've got a place to go. She has a husband. She has a family. She has children. She has to put some distance between herself and the things from the past that are prompting her to think that her life is worthless, that her existence has no value, and she just wants to kill herself. And I say to her, but you want to kill yourself, but yet you pick up the phone and you call someone that you haven't seen in 6 years. What's with that? I don't think you want to die at all. I think you want to live. And I think God put it on your heart to call me because I might be the only person you know that's going to tell you, quit blaming the devil. Forgive, cling to the scriptures, walk this path. Don't turn from your trials and your suffering, but grab on to God and let him drag you right through it. There's a country western song that says, I haven't heard it in a long time. I don't know it very well. But if you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through before the devil knows you're there. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know what? If you'd like to experience God's presence in your life, you're going to have to let him have a presence in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2 ends with this beautiful statement down in verse 24 and 25. There it says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. By his wounds we're healed. We were once wandering on wrong paths, going wrong directions. But now we understand God's will. We understand how it comes back to that there's purpose in what he's doing. When I was a child growing up, I loved and still love licorice and those gelatin type candies. Swedish fish, dots, that stuff. I always said, when I grow up, I'm going to buy that stuff and I'm going to have it with me all the time. But my mom, when I was a kid, she would never buy it. I'd have to scrounge my allowance. My allowance was a dime. For a dime, I could get 10 pieces of licorice at the local store. And that had to last me a whole week. I could eat 10 pieces in 2 minutes. My mom, it's practically abuse. That she wouldn't keep that kind of candy in the house. But she understood something that I didn't understand. All that sugar's not good for you. Candy is not a good diet. And you know what? God understands what's good for us. And sometimes we can't see. Even when all of our attention is drawn into another area, and we're like Brandy, and she's just thinking, you know, my life is worthless, and everything is just pulled over there. God is like, no, we're going to go this way. Like, I want to go that way. That way, that's forgiveness. That way, it's grace. That way, it's hope. And I'm wanting to kill somebody. But if you walk God's path, it goes someplace. It has a destination. The destination is called heaven. You can have it here and now in your heart. You can have the peace that passes all understanding if you will grab onto Him, cling to Him, and never let go. Let's stand together. Bearing in mind that God's love for us is only possible because of Jesus' death on the cross. So accept Jesus as your Savior. Ask God to forgive you your sin and receive the Holy Spirit that you might live in obedience with Him and gain eternal life. There's no other way that you can get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. One of the things that you have to do to be a Christian is to take all your hurts and all your afflictions and all the things that people have done to you, all the times that they've hurt you, all the pain and the trials that you've suffered, and you have to collect those things up. You have to put them all in a basket and you have to take them to the cross and you have to set them down and you have to walk away. Because the greater the distance between you and your pain, the more God is able to work in your life, the more He's able to flow, the more joy you're going to experience, the more happiness you're going to have down in that deep core of your soul. But you've got to do it. You start by laying yourself at the cross. And then you just keep piling it up there. Because Jesus, Father, we just want to thank You that we can come before You today, remembering, Father, that You have a plan for us. Our steps are not just into the dark. But Lord, if we walk in faith and we walk in Your path where You have destined us to go, Father, we can gain eternal life. Help us, Lord, to cling to Christ. Help us to follow the whole teachings of the Scripture, not to pick and choose what we like and what we don't. And then help us, Father, to just live what we truly believe, what the Scripture truly teaches us. Help us, Lord, to never be afraid, but to always be loving. And give You the work in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Worship team.